the power company, you know, the rights to flood. This was like the year before the dam project got started. And then in 1929, there was another recorded document where this same heir of Mr. Beauregard was approached again by the power company and asked to grant flowage rights to the entire 47 acres. And again, these flowage rights agreements, they use the 1315 elevation line. So anything on a property above that line would not be covered by the flowage agreement. And I think they wrote it that way because they knew how high the waters would go, but they didn't really have things surveyed out real accurately to know exactly how much of a particular parcel they would be flooding. And then there isn't any documentation or anything recorded up in the Register of Deeds office on this big timber parcel until in early 1962 when two subsequent heirs of the Beauregards, both ladies, each granted title, undivided half interest each, to one of the family real estate firms in the Hayward area. And as near as I can ascertain from the paperwork, they were paid approximately $2,000, certainly no more than that, perhaps a bit less. And within 4 years, this local Hayward family real estate organization sold the property for $10,000. So again, I think it's a story that has been repeated very often in the early days of northwestern Wisconsin. And the gentleman who purchased the property in 1966 used it. He'd camp on it. He built a couple of little 10 by 12 sheds and he would camp out there. And then he sold it in 1992 to the current owner. Now, a little better than a year ago, the current owner listed the property for sale with, again, a different one of our local realtors. And last spring, a year ago this past spring, he had an offer to purchase at asking price contingent on a rezone. Now, the current zoning of this parcel on Big Timber, and I guess for folks who aren't real familiar with the flowage, Big Timber Island is somewhere between 200 and 250 acres. It's one of the largest islands out there in the flowage. The west half of it, except for this point on the southwest corner, is owned outright by the Lakota Ray Band, and the east half of it is held in trust by the United States government for the Lakota Ray Band. So the rest of the island is tribal property. At any rate, the current zoning is, in Surrey County zoning parlance, is zoned forestry, which would allow for the construction, due to the size of the parcel, it would allow for the construction of 2 year-round homes. The developer who made the offer to purchase wanted it to be rezoned to residential, which would have allowed him to build up to 12 year-round homes. Well, fortunately, a number of people locally were reading the small print in the legal notices of the paper, and it took some scrambling and making some phone calls, and we were able to get a fair number of people to turn out for the town board meeting. The town of Hunter on the rezone, and the town board denied the application or voted against it, again, strictly a recommendation, of 3-0, unanimous. And then it went to the county zoning committee. And at the county zoning committee, this developer apparently realized he was going to have some opposition. So his offer to the zoning committee was, if they would approve his rezone, even though it would allow him to build 12 homes, he would limit himself to 6, what he called, quote, substantial homes, unquote. And he indicated they would be complete with their own indoor sprinkling systems and backup generators. Now, he did not indicate whether those backup generators would be diesel or LP fired, and he did not begin to address how thousands of gallons of concentrated effluent would be safely removed from the island to the mainland every several years when the septic systems had to be maintained. It was a close one. We won that. The application was denied, or recommendation for denial by the zoning committee, by a vote of only 3-2. We were able to make some headway by the time it got to the full county board, and we did win that one 13-1. And then later in the year, the island on the south side of Moonshine Lake was subject to a conditional use application to use 2 lots over on the west end of the flowage, on the west end of Chief Lake, just off of the LaRouche Road, as being the dedicated mainland access parcels for lots up to 4 houses on the Moonshine Island. Now, it's 7 miles as the crow flies, nearly 10 miles by water, and you'd have to go under the bridge at Herman's Landing, and logistically it just didn't make sense. One of the agents for the owners indicated that they didn't really have any intention of using those two lots as an access to the island properties, but that it was to comply with the letter of the zoning ordinance. We also were able to prevail at that hearing, but that hearing was on the 20th of December, and during the hearing, one of the zoning committee members had an exchange, a verbal exchange, with Mick Isham, who is on the tribal council. And this zoning committee member, during that exchange, stated something to the effect of, if you people don't want development out on those islands, then buy them. And that planted the seed for the Chippewa Islands Project, which is a cooperative effort between the Chippewa Flowage Area Property Owners Association and the Couderay Waters Regional Land Trust to facilitate and expedite that process.
And so it is hoped that this group will combine with, working with the Lac-Couderay tribe, this is a sort of a consortium of...
It's really quite a broad-based effort. Now, I've been in touch with folks from the Nature Conservancy, the Trust for Public Land, the American Land Conservancy, and was beginning to try to enter into serious discussions with them when local folks from the DNR indicated that they would like to take the lead in this. They indicated that the ultimate acquisition could be done a bit more efficiently and at less cost if the DNR was dealing directly with the owners. And so the DNR is going to be the lead agency in this process. The bulk of the funds for acquisition will be coming from the Nelson Knowles Stewardship Fund. Now, again, a lot of people are concerned about that because of media reports of the Joint Finance Committee's work on the budget regarding the Stewardship Fund. But the Stewardship Fund annually has been funded at $60 million a year. It's a $60 million a year bonding program. Actual debt service only costs $3 to $4 million a year. And I guess trying to save $3 million a year by reducing an excellent program that benefits all of us in an attempt to plug a $3 billion hole in the budget doesn't quite add up. At any rate, the Joint Finance Committee proposal did not eliminate the Stewardship Fund. It merely reduced the scope of it by about 75%. So there still will be monies in the Stewardship Fund, and this project is of extremely high priority with the DNR. So the DNR has taken the lead in this, but I have been advised by members of the Natural Resources Board that the more funds we can raise locally, it will be a show of support. It will leverage our efforts in Madison. And so that is also one of the undertakings of the Chippewa Islands Project.
So looking for an even broader partnership and an investment, if you will. I was speaking this morning with Doug Kurzweil, who was an assessor in the region, but involved for, as you say, in the last 6 weeks or so, this Couderay Waters Regional Land Trust project, an effort to prevent development for all time of these island locations out on the Chippewa Flowage. A lot of people come up here exclusively to come out to the Chippewa Flowage. Just the other day, Doug, a friend of mine from southern Wisconsin, called me and said, let's get together for lunch. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, we're up. We're always up on the flowage fishing. It is a wild and extraordinary landscape there, waterscape, if you will.
It is absolutely amazing that in this day and age, in the 21st century, we can have something like that within just 3 hours of millions of people. The power company, NSP, I believe, would have been a successor corporation, and now their successor, XL Energy, well, it was actually NSP that was the steward of the bulk of those shorelines up until about 15 years ago. And then as part of the relicensing process and also settlement of legitimate indigenous claims, the transfer of all of that NSP upland, the east part to the U.S. Forest Service, the north and part of the west to the DNR, and then the rest of the west and the south to the Lac-Couderay people. It is just amazing that we have that. Estimates I've heard range between 25 and 50,000 people a year use the Chippewa Flowage. I know of many people who stay at resorts on other lakes or stay at a hotel in town for a week or two, and a day trip on the Flowage is always on their vacation itinerary. I know of a number of resort owners who have resorts on other lakes who spend an awful lot of time on the Chippewa Flowage. Now, some of the lakes in our area, I mean, you've got Round and Lac-Couderay, Grindstone, the big Clearwater lakes. They've got the nice clear water, the clear blue. Principles of the Land Trust, CWRLT/CHIP. They have a segregated account for this project. So CWRLT/CHIP. And then sent care of Louise Heim, that's H-E-I-M, at 9151N, County Road E, Hayward, Wisconsin, 54843. And then also we, and though I couldn't find it if I had to, we do have a website. And you can check us out on the web. It's kind of a nice little web page. Got some graphics, some maps, some text at ChippewaFlowage.com. And then you click on the Chippewa Islands Project. And if anybody wants to talk to someone on the phone, I'm at 715-462-9679.
Doug Kurzweil, thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric.
It's good to have you in.
My pleasure.
Bye.